Thank you, Steve. This morning, you know, it would be natural to preach a sermon upon Father's Day, because this is a very important day for we who have children. But my sermon's not exactly about Father's Day. In fact, my sermon has more questions than answers. And as I go through it, I would like for you to really ponder in your hearts some of the questions that's going to be asked. You know, we're given instruction, we're given guidance, we're given direction on our families. Our families are one of the most important things in our lives. And yet, many times we don't do what's necessary or what's important in our family's lives. I would like to take for a scripture this morning just one verse out of the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. And the verse is verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, what meaning does that really have in your lives? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is just not talking about our sons. Actually, it's talking about our children. Train up children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Which brings me to the first question. If our children follow after us, what place will Jesus play in their lives? Will they know Jesus as their friend? That he gave his life that they might have remission of sin in theirs, and be able to spend eternity with him? If our children follow after us, do they know that? Do they know that Jesus is their friend? That if they allow Jesus to enter into their hearts, he will guide them and direct them? If our children follow after us, will they know that Jesus will guide and direct them? If our children follow after us, will they know that Jesus will be there in times of trouble, in times of temptation, in times of joy, and in times of sorrow? Will they know that they can depend upon Jesus and upon God? Will they know the love of Jesus Christ if our children follow after us? Will they know the love of Jesus Christ? If our children follow after us, what place will Jesus play in their lives? Will the world have a stronger pull on them if they follow after us? If they follow after us, what place will the Scriptures play in their lives? Will they learn to rely upon these books for direction and instruction? Will they know, if our children follow after us, will they know that the Scriptures were given for instructions? If they follow after us, will they want to pack these books. You know, we have some that's going away to college this year. If our children follow after us, will they want to pack these books to take with them when they're in college? When they leave home and start their own lives away from their parents, what place will the Word of God play in their lives? Have we taught them the Scriptures? Have we taught them to rely upon the Scriptures? Another question. If they follow after us, will our children, will the books be in their hearts and not just in their hands? If our children follow after us, will our children, if they follow after us, hearken to the Word of God? You know, we're given some scriptures for our understanding and interpretation. Let's go to 3 Nephi. And in 3 Nephi, the 14th chapter, found on page 681. If our children follow after us, will they hearken, or will they follow these words? Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, turn all ye Gentiles from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, and of your lyings and deceivings, and of your whoredoms, and of your secret abominations, and your idolatries, and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envies, and your strifes, and from all your wickedness and abominations. And come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that ye may be numbered with my people who are of the house of Israel. If our children follow after us, will they remember that scripture? Will they hearken to the words of that scripture? Will that scripture be important to them? Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, the third chapter. The 16th verse. No, let's go back to the 15th. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. If our children follow after us, will they search out the scriptures that will make them wise? And all scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If our children follow after us, will they be instructable? Will they be able to learn to follow the Word of God? If our children follow after us, what part will prayer play in their lives? Will they know what is important to them is important to God? Will they be willing to take their desires, their hopes, their dreams to God in prayer and know that He will answer them? If our children follow after us, how will they view prayer? Will they understand that prayer is where they communicate with God and God with them? You know, it's a two-way communication. Many times we think of prayer only as a one-way communication where we pray to God and He hears our prayers. But there's another part to that. God answers prayers. We've seen the answer to prayer right here in this room many times. But if our children follow after us, will they be able to see it too? Will they be able to know that when they pray to God, that God will hear and will answer? Will they understand the power of prayer in their lives? And if they follow after us, will they know that prayer will be answered? If our children follow after us, will they know what to pray for? Let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to page 430 in the Book of Mormon. In the 219th verse, it says, "Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you're in your fields over your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, who is the enemy of all unrighteousness." Will they know when to pray? Will they know how to pray? Will they know what to pray for? If they follow after us, cry unto Him over your crops and your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. Pray for prosperity. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be fully drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also the welfare of those who are around you. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after you have done all these things, if you turn away the needy and naked and visit not the sick and the afflicted and impart of your substance, if ye have to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who deny the faith. If our children follow after us, do they learn charity, which is the pure love of Christ? So if our children follow after us, will they know what to pray for, when to pray, and how to pray? On page 441, the 70th verse, it says, "Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that He may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou ariseth in the morning, let your hearts be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day." If our children follow after us, will they be a prayerful people? Will they know about prayer? if our children follow after us, will they come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night? If our children follow after us, will they offer prayer and testimony and song? Or will they sit silently in the pew? Or not come at all? If our children follow after us, will they realize that God has a plan for their lives? Will they realize that God has a plan for who they associate with, their friends, where they'll go to college, who they should marry, what occupation they should seek after, and where they should live? If our children follow after us, have we guided them in seeking the Lord in answer to all these questions? If our children follow after us, will they know that the will of God for their lives, will they know the will of God for their lives and be in it? Or will they just wander around? If our children follow after us, will they develop a God-directed relationship with others? Or will they go after the world, seeking the ways of the world? If our children follow after us, will they develop friendships within the gospel bonds? Or will they look to the world for their friends? Will they look to the world for their entertainment if they follow after us? Will they find that being at a ball game is more important than being in church if they follow after us? Or will they find that going to the movies is more important than being in church? Will they find that using alcohol and drugs has a draw on them? Or will they develop the friendships within the body of Christ that direct them away from that life? But if our children follow after us, will they be able to handle their money wisely? If our children follow after us, will they pay tithing, give offerings, be charitable, or will they be selfish? If our children follow after us, will they know how to manage money? Will they become in debt to where others control their lives and they don't control it? If our children follow after us, will they grow up giving more than is expected of them? When we send our children out in the workplace, will they be a person that an employer would be happy to have? That they give their best all the time? Or will they shirk off their duty and only give part way? When they're in the service of their Lord, will they give their best at all times? Or will they shirk their duty? There's a lot of questions, isn't there? There's very few answers. If our children follow after us, what place will the church play in their lives? And as I walked in this morning, or as some of the congregation walked in, a question was asked. I would like for someone to teach or preach about tardiness. If our children follow after us, will they have a tendency to be tardy, to be late for things, especially for church? If our children follow after us when the service says that we should start at 7 o'clock, do we walk in at 7:20? My question on that is, would you show up for work 20 minutes late? If our children follow after us, are we teaching them time management as well as money management as well as relationship management? Friday, we have a requirement that we have to have so many days of education in my field. They more or less dictate to you what you must take them in. And the more different things you do, the more you have to take. In the state of Missouri, we're all told that we must have 4 hours of diagnosis as chiropractors. We must have 4 hours of x-ray a year. And now, this year, they started another four-hour program that we must have 4 hours of boundary training. And a lot of people will wonder, well, what's boundary training? And that's how you relate to others. We see a lot in the world today, especially in high places, where boundaries are broken. Boundaries don't exist anymore in some people's minds. But believe me, there's a need to teach our children boundary training. Respect. Respect for others. If our children follow after us, will they respect others? Will they respect a relationship with others? Will they respect places? If our children follow after us, will they respect this building? Or the one upon the temple lot? Or your house? If our children follow after us, will they realize that there is a day of accounting? There's a day that we will all have to answer for everything that we've done, thought, or said. And if our children follow after us, will they realize that there is a day of reckoning, that there is a day of accountability? Knowing that the Lord has commanded that each one of us must come unto Him and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If our children follow after us, will the church become important to them? Will life and eternity become important to them? Or will they live for the day? And who will they spend eternity with? I read something one time that our children were the only thing that we could take to heaven with us. And if you stop and think about it, that's just about the truth. Our children are the only things that we can take to heaven with us. But they have to be taught. There's some scripture. It's in Mosiah. It's the 25th verse on page 221. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil who is the master of sin and who is the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being the enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness, and you will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Love and serve one another. I believe that was one of the songs that was sung in Sunday school this morning, was something about loving and serving each other. And the Savior looks on it with joy. We must teach our children this. And if our children follow after us, where will they be? Have we set an example for them? An example of truth. An example of love and service of one another. Or have we taught them to be selfish and only serve themselves? I was in a seminar Friday, and my wife went to a wedding, and she brought home the wedding announcement and program. And in it, there is a letter. And I'd like to read you this letter. Ever since I was a little girl, my mom and dad have always told me that they have prayed for the man that I was going to marry. Little did they know that it was a man with the same last name as me in a town I had never heard of until 3 years ago. It is so amazing how God has had Jeremy and I picked out for each other since before we were born. And how He leads us to each other, and how He led us to each other. He is so much more than I ever dreamed my husband would be. He is one of the most kind-hearted and caring men I have ever met. He touches my heart every day. He brings out the best in me. I am thankful to be married, to be marrying my best friend. And I'm so excited to share my life with him. Well, that was the letter that the lady wrote. And Jeremy wrote this letter. I can specifically remember one warm summer night in Mansfield, Missouri. To give my life to. I remember wondering if this girl was there in Mansfield or if she was further away. Not until 3.5 years ago did I know that in Olathe, Kansas, there was a beautiful young lady that would hold my heart in her hands. I thank God daily for all the works He has done in my life. these are not members of our church. But you know something? God worked with these two young people. They opened up their hearts. They opened up their lives to the will of God. Their families did a wonderful job in instructing them. If our children follow after us, will they be willing to do that? Will they be willing to search out God and give Him the praise for finding the one that completes their life? I have four children. I'm very proud of each one of them. This is a poem that oftentimes I've said to each one of them, but it's written about a boy. But really, you can take the place and put children in there. It says, I have a boy. I said to him, son, be fair and square in the race you must run. Be brave if you lose and meek if you win. Be better and nobler than I've ever been. Be honest, brave, upright, and true, and honor the name I have given to you. On this Father's Day, children, honor your parents. Honor your parents by serving God. Honor your parents by overlooking their many weaknesses that they have. Yes, when I raised my children, I had many weaknesses. And I pray that they will overlook them. I know there was times when I was hard on each one of them. But I also love each one of them deeply. And it's my desire that each one of them would embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and cling to it tenaciously. Each one of you. Each one of you need to cling to this gospel. Cling to it so tightly that nothing can dissuade you. Cling to it so tightly that God is the major part of your life. You want to know the reasons why people like our brother Sheldon has been here for so many years? It's because he has held tight to that gospel and God has worked in his life. The same thing with all these children. Hold to the gospel of Christ. It will lead you to eternal life. It will give you the very best gift of life, and that is you will always be with Jesus Christ forever and ever.
Thank you, Larry.